From Pacifica Radio, KPFT 90.1 Houston, this is Open Journal in Exile. Open Journal is the Houston community magazine of the airwaves. Join us as Duane Bradley and Stephanie Coleman explore the wonder that is the Petro Metro and the people who make it happen. And now from our temporary, socially distanced, alternative studios in exile, somewhere in the greater Houston area, this is Open Journal in Exile. Let the conversation begin.
Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for joining us, and thank you for your support. This is Open Journal on KPFT Houston. Welcome aboard. I'm Duane Bradley.
And I'm Stephanie Coleman. This year's election is being called the most important election of our lifetime. But for many, especially for young people, voting rights and enthusiasm have been under siege. Today, the final day of eligibility to register to vote this year, we thought it would be good to take a look at how Houstonians, especially young Houstonians, have responded to the call to civic duty to vote. How important it is to plan how you will vote and the specific timing of this entire civic experience. With us tonight to discuss voter enthusiasm, eligibility, planning, and more is Tamara Sell, a local voting rights authority, deputy voter registrar, teacher and activist, and friend of Open Journal. Tamara Sell, welcome back to this edition of Open Journal.
Thank you, Stephanie and Duane, for having me on today.
Great to have you on board, Tamara. Being as today officially is the last day to register to vote, is it possible for someone listening on a Monday evening to still register to vote at this late hour? Like, do you have to go like beg Governor Abbott to let you in the door at midnight in Austin or something?
Great question, Duane. It is too late to print out and mail in a ballot. It has to be postmarked by today. But you can zip on over. I'm going to be at Axelrad until 10 o'clock tonight registering voters. That's at 1517 Alabama in Midtown. Come on down and we'll register you to vote. It is not too late. Your vote matters. If you're not sure if you're registered to vote, you can go to vote.org very easily and click Texas and you can check your voter registration right there. Another great resource is vote411.org, and that's the League of Women Voters website, and you can also check your voter registration there. If you find out that you've been accidentally purged or maybe you changed your license and your registration got dropped, zip on over and let's get that taken care of.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that I'm registered. I've already checked, and I'm good to go, but just knowing that Axelrad's open, I missed that place. Alabama and Alameda. It's right there in the heart of Midtown next to the Houston Community College Central Campus, kind of across the street from the Station Museum. Very cool place.
And just reopened.
Yeah. Oh, well, great to know that you're going to be there helping people through the process. Mm-hmm. So I mentioned Governor Abbott and having to beg him for access. We have just in this past week had our governor overrule Harris County's remote ballot drop-off system, reducing the number of locations all the way down to one, the location being Reliance Stadium. What do you think about that, and what does that practically mean?
It's a huge concern. What a lot of people don't realize across the nation is that Harris County, I believe, is the second most populous county in the entire country. We cover 1,777 square miles. We have 4.7 million people. When you hear about these USPS slowdowns, one of the hardest hit areas has been Houston. And people are just very concerned. They want to know that their vote is going to count. They want to know that it's going to matter. We're in the midst of a global pandemic. We have a very limited number of people that are even given allowed the opportunity to vote by mail. And I think they're very nervous about showing up in person if they don't have to. Briefly, the people who can vote by mail include those who are over 65, those with disabilities, those who will be out of the county during all of early voting and election day, and those who are in jail but have not yet been convicted of a crime. So we have a very limited number of people, but it's also a very vulnerable group. The elderly, the disabled, often having pre-existing conditions that really puts them at risk for voting in person, but they really want to make sure their vote counts. So even having just one drop-off location, that could mean a 30-mile drive for an elderly person. Mm-hmm. And we want to not put them at risk.
Mm-hmm. You know, to add to that, as you mentioned, and, you know, as we talk about students, for all of this sort of new rules around college campuses and kids who've left for school, and it just it was complicated already. What is the process for students who are no longer in the county and may be away at college, and they've confirmed that they're registered? How do they actually get the opportunity to vote remotely?
I am super glad you asked that question. As a college student, you can choose to register and vote in the community where you attend college or in your home community. I'm a huge advocate for voting in your home community. Those are the elections that impact you the most. You have until October 23rd, but I wouldn't wait that long. I would do it now. If you are in Harris County, you can go to harrisvotes.com and you can request a ballot to be mailed to you. Don't wait. harrisvotes.com. They have two ways you can do it. You can actually fill out a form to request them to send you a form. Don't do that. Just fill out the form. Don't waste time. We don't have time to mess around.
Right.
And what's super awesome is Chris Hollins, who took over for Diane Troutman over this year, has done an amazing job with the website. And you can even track the status of your ballot. So my youngest daughter just graduated from college, and she's spending the year teaching English in South Korea. And she was really nervous about being able to vote, and she can actually track the status of her request, and she knows that her ballot was mailed out to her September 19th. So she's feeling really good that, you know, she can still contribute right now and vote as a 21-year-old girl who really feels passionately about this. But related to that, just a tip, there is hardly an individual under age 30 that has a stamp. And to mail in your request, you're going to need an envelope and a stamp and a printer to get that printed out. And then when your ballot comes to you, you're going to, again, need a stamp or two to mail it in. So if you're a parent out there and you have a kid over at UT or wherever going to school, mail them some stamps.
Wow. You don't even think about those things, that is like foreign currency or something to have a stamp. Amazing.
As we were mentioning, Tamara, the voter registration ends tonight at midnight. Early voting is starting in less than 2 weeks, October 13th through the 30th. What's your overview on that situation and some challenges that the Republican Party has thrown in, saying that that week from the 13th to the 20th, that shouldn't happen. It should get rolled back.
Yeah, I believe the Texas GOP is actually suing Greg Abbott. Word is that he might be relooking at that. I really hope that that's not the case. We really need to let people vote and not continue to put all these barriers. Even a thing like a stamp is a barrier. We need to have accessibility right now with COVID-19. People want to be able to go to a polling location when it's not crowded. The idea of having some of these 24-hour locations, drive-up locations, those are great ideas. Again, Chris Holland gets a shout out for really opening up those opportunities. If you're wondering about where you can go vote, again, harrisvotes.com has the hours and the locations. They had waiting times listed for the last election, which is also very helpful. Use these tools. Even more, you can go print out your sample ballot ahead of time. It's long. It's more than a page long. There's everything on there from school board representatives at the state level to your sheriff, your constable, your senator, representative, house district. Super important races, especially this year is a census year. We only do that every 10 years. Mm-hmm. Side note, if you haven't responded to the census, please do that immediately. That determines our congressional seats here in Texas. It's very possible if we all respond to the census, we could have one or two more congressional seats assigned to Texas, which will cause us to redraw the lines. I live in Texas too, which is ridiculous territory that it covers. And I know I'm really anxious to have lines more represent the people and have votes actually be about the people running, not about, you know, who's been drawn in or drawn out. Yeah. So those Texas House races are super important because those are the people that are going to have the power to redraw those lines. And that will be with us for the next 10 years.
Mm-hmm. You know, as you talk about printing out the ballot and really getting a handle on it, I think one thing that we've all sort of seen is that in terms of education around voting and information around it, that there can be some gaps, even just understanding our system. So there's like this information divide. So as people are looking to print out their ballots, learn more about it, have time to Google it and have conversations with their peers about what actually is behind what we're voting for, can they bring the insights and the notes and the who they think they've decided to go with? Can they bring a cheat sheet into the ballot with them?
I'm so glad you asked that question, Sydney. Looking at the ballot, you're like, who is this person? You cannot look up information on your cell phone. So unfortunately, if there's something you're not sure of, you don't have that opportunity to look up. So we really need to do, it's the teacher and me, do our homework in advance, print out your ballot sheet. There's some great resources through the League of Women Voters. Again, that's vote411.org. And what you can do is you can get them, they'll print you up your ballot, and actually you'll have a comparison of the different candidates. And you can read through, you can click to their pages to find out a little bit more about them for the main candidates. But also, you know, I don't feel equipped as a citizen to make a lot of determinations on the judicial positions. Right. I really look at other resources, you know, the Houston Chronicle. Admittedly, I have a retired attorney friend who does a lot of my homework for me. because these are really consequential positions, yeah. And having people in them that are committed to doing a good job is really critical for all of us.
Yeah. So now you can't bring your telephone in, but you can bring a sheet
of paper.
They're printed out.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So with that, and this is just my own question that always comes up. You know, many people say, if you don't know, skip it.
As a teacher, you know what her answer is going to be.
I'm just checking.
Do your homework, Stephanie.
Because I think it's really important, but like, this is my Super Bowl. Like, you know, yeah. Have their athletes and their picks, and they know the stats. I'm going to be looking for more input for a couple of the positions, particularly the judicial ones. Mm-hmm. Most of the other ones, before we shut down with COVID, I was able to meet most of the candidates that I'm going to be voting for, so I feel pretty strongly about my support for them. They've done a great job being available for Zoom candidate meetings. Mm-hmm. So I'm feeling really confident about those positions. There's some great people running for office that have been very accessible, and I'm just really excited about.
Well, I think that's another piece in terms of being an active participant in the process, is that as voters and as citizens, we can take these opportunities to engage prior to walking in the ballot, that you can either organize your own or be a part of other Zoom and conversations and meetups so that you do know. And I think for those who are new to this process, that's very empowering to hear you say that we can take it into our own hands and not just wait till we get 300 flyers on our way to the booth.
So we are tuned to Open Journal on Pacifica Radio 90.1 FM. We are visiting with Tamara Sell, local deputy voter registrar and teacher. We thank you for joining us and thank you for your support. I'm Dwayne Bradley with Stephanie Coleman. So Tamara, I was wondering, as a teacher, as a mom with children of voting age for the first time in a presidential election, what do you think about the excitement level of young people, the engagement level? What would you recommend to someone who never has gone through this process before in terms of making a plan to be a good voter beyond doing your homework?
A big part of it has to do with really making a plan to vote. Pick which day you're going to vote. I know I'm going to be voting. I wanted to vote on the 13th, but I have morning carpool duty that day. So I'll be voting on the 14th. Think about what day you're going to vote, when you're going to vote. what your plan is. If the lines are long, bring a snack. You know, don't leave it till the last minute when you're rushing to somewhere else. Speaking about that young vote, I will just say our numbers are way up. A lot of times the over 65 group, the boomers, are the most reliable voting demographic, but we've seen significant increases in the under 30 voters. From 2014 to 2018, those numbers doubled in participation at levels from 18 to 24, from 25 to 29, and the 30 to 34 age groups. That's so great. Showing up really matters. You can make your voice heard. And the issues that are important to young people today are different than the concerns of their grandparents. And it's really important that they speak up about what's important for them.
Students and youth, do you see them falling prey to any of this disinformation, the propaganda that's percolating through all the social media, the different platforms, Facebook in particular, or Instagram, and some of the more hip, you know, social platforms that are being used?
You know, it's interesting. I think their parents and their grandparents are more likely to get misinformation through social media. The hardest thing is to reach younger generations because they're not on the same platforms. They're not watching the network news. They're not watching a lot of the ways that we've gotten our news historically. They are looking at Instagram. They are looking at TikTok videos. I am seeing some really promising kids that, you know, you look at the March for Our Lives kids that are out there really actively working for voting. And that really is really inspiring to me. I think they care.
That's a very hopeful piece of information.
Yeah.
That's my perception as well, but I'm glad to hear that reinforced by you.
Yeah. No, it is very impressive to see the young individuals. I look at my son and better than adults, his group seems to go to 3 and 4 sources to validate almost everything because they are so familiar with propaganda and they are so clear what's an ad versus an actual editorial. For first time voters of that age group, what are some things that they need to bring with them?
In Texas, you do need to bring identification with you. One of the reasons I got involved with this is my daughter moved here to Texas after she graduated from college and she brought her Oregon driver's license with her. And she was basically told you can't vote. And nobody told her you could also bring a passport. Mm-hmm. Or in Texas, you know, it's kind of crazy. You can't use a student ID to vote, but you can use a gun license. So it's very important that you bring identification with you. It needs to be a Texas driver's license. It can be a military ID. It can be a Texas gun license, or it can be a passport. Even if the passport has expired, I think it's 3 years, you can use that as your identification. And that's very significant because we have so many people moving to Houston every month, and they often have not had the ability to take an entire day off work to go all the way out to the supercenter to get a new driver's license. Mm-hmm. But they can register with the last 4 digits of their social, register to vote, and then use that passport as photo ID.
That's good to know.
Lastly, if you have moved, where you live is where you need to be registered to vote. If your driver's license address is different, that's okay. It's really for identification purposes, but it wouldn't hurt to bring along a utility bill or something to prove that that's where you live.
So, Tamara, we have heard in this past week the president calling for his supporters to storm the voting locations as observers, which sounds like a bald-faced call for voter intimidation. What should someone, particularly a young person who may be going through this experience for the first time during a very strange election cycle, what should they do if their eligibility to vote is challenged at the poll?
There are some number, I don't have it with me right now, but there are some numbers that you can call to report a concern at polling locations. I know this is something that there are multiple organizations that are involved with. I wish I had the name with me right now, but they're resourceful. Google it. Don't let anyone deny you your right to vote. Talk to somebody, come back with the ID, do what you need to do. You can ask to cast a provisional ballot. And then later bring back what you needed to provide to be able to prove that you are who you say you are. But don't just take no for an answer.
Which I guess as you talk about a plan is another reason to not only plan it, but plan to vote early so that if there are some challenges, you have time to address them.
That's absolutely correct. With my own daughter, when she was told she couldn't vote, I don't think they realized she had just graduated with a sociology degree and was very open with sharing about the challenges that that would put somebody who had to take a bus to vote, who right. wasn't somebody who would have a passport. Like, we put yeah. so many barriers up to people who have to take time off work to vote. We need to make it easy. We need to make it accessible. And we need to encourage people to use their voice.
Well, Tamara Sell, I want to thank you for sharing your knowledge with us on Open Journal. And once again, your recommendations on information sites, the best ones that folks listening should be sure to check into, to check their eligibility and to also check on candidates that they might not be as familiar with, say, judicial races and such.
Yeah, vote411.org, League of Women Voters, nonpartisan, easy to use. Locally, harrisvotes.com. for voting hours and locations.
Tamara, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate having you on this edition of Open Journal in Exile.
Thank you so much. It's always fun to be on. Excellent. Go vote.
All right. Well, it's time to wrap this edition of Open Journal. Check the archive at kpft.org and subscribe to our podcast, please, KPFTOJ. And thanks to anyone who has subscribed and donated to KPFT, particular to Open Journal. Thanks for your support. I'm Dwayne Bradley.
And I'm Stephanie Coleman. As always, we are a dedicated all-volunteer production staff, including Rick Campbell, Susan Phillips, and Maverick. Open Journal theme music provided by Kevin McLeod. Thank you for listening, and thank you for your support.
And as always, we like to leave you with a thought to carry you through the week. This comes from our recently birthdayed 96-year-old former president, Jimmy Carter, who said, "Aggression unopposed becomes a contagious disease." Take care of each other.